Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You know, I get no joy in asking this question, but it's got to be asked nonetheless. Are the Broncos quickly becoming the worst team in the division? The Raiders have kicked off free agency with a bang. They've traded for arguably the most prolific wide receiver in all of football, and one of three on any reasonable person's list, while also signing Snacks Harrison, who was released by the Giants, and signing up the best available left tackle out there in free agency, Trent Brown. They made him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history, believe it or not. But the dollars aside, the Raiders have upgraded their football team in a major way here, Stoke.
They really have. You look at where the Broncos were entering this thing, and obviously they were third in the division, where they should have been. Going to be hard to really catapult either one of those teams. Don't you agree? Do you agree with that?
Over the Chargers or the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Very hard.
I mean, I don't see that happening. And now, with what the Raiders have done, the reality of the situation is it's neck and neck. What happened last year when these two teams played? Split, right?
Split.
They won at the end of the season. What'd that look like? Embarrassing. Embarrassing is what it was. So you look at these moves that they're making, going to get Antonio Brown and Trent Brown and Snacks. You said Snacks?
Snacks.
Snacks Harrison.
Snacks Harrison.
Didn't see that one. Three first-round picks. It's neck and neck. It really is. And it's a bummer to say that, but that's where the Broncos are right now. They don't have money to go out there and make these types of moves. Raiders had a pretty good draft last year. You look at Colton Miller, who they're probably going to move from the left to the right now. They have flexibility there, their first-round pick. You look at the defensive lineman that they drafted, who a lot of people are really high on last year. Three first-round picks. Look, the reality of the situation is the Broncos have to get a lot of things right. Just to keep pace in this division.
Just to keep pace.
You want to keep pace with what things, the way things are going. Now, the Raiders could screw things up really quickly.
Sure.
But they're making some good moves. They're trying to, they're not going down the same road they went last year. That's obvious. Broncos have to get a lot right in free agency and in the draft. Just to keep pace in the division. This division is strong.
It is.
You look at the Chargers, what they have built there around Phillip Rivers. You look at the Chiefs. We all know what the Chiefs have in Patrick Mahomes. So, Jonathan Hankins.
Jonathan son. Hankins.
Not Snacks.
Not Snacks Harrison.
I got excited when I heard Snacks.
Had it wrong in our notes here.
Sorry. So, look, they're making some moves there in Oakland. But obviously, when you look at the teams ahead of the Broncos, I mean, they're far ahead of them. You got some making up to do.
You have two teams with Super Bowl windows open that are your neighbors, and the Chargers and the Chiefs. If you were a totally unbiased observer and you didn't have any affiliation to the Raiders or the Broncos, and you're not paying homage to history, and you're only looking at the roster of what it's constructed now, the draft picks that you have moving forward, and also considering what the Raiders just addressed in free agency, if you were an unbiased observer and you had to buy stock in the Raiders or the Broncos, I think, unfortunately so, you'd probably put your money with the Raiders. Probably so. History would tell you that the Broncos will figure this out. Recent history hasn't suggested that.
Yeah. look, I mean, if you're buying stock, you're probably buying the stock in the Raiders and where they're heading and what they're doing and how they're operating there. And we'll see this whole John Gruden experiment, what it looks like in year two. They got the number four pick in the draft. What will they do there? But yeah, you're probably going Raiders, unfortunately. And if the Broncos just want to keep pace, they're going to have to do a lot right in the offseason, starting with free agency and in the draft this year. They started it off, I feel like they made a right move with the Keenum situation, going out there and getting Flacco. That was a good move to try to win now. You're going to have to back up last year's draft with another really good draft.
And that's really the bottom line.
You're going to have to hit on 10, and 10's going to have to be a player now.
That's right. That's right. And as exciting as this time of year is, and it is, it is. And hopefully the Broncos, and specifically John Elway, finds real upgrades here in free agency. The money to spend is a little bit of an issue. But at the same time, it's about the NFL draft. We need another class like we had a year ago if we're truly going to build off the momentum of a year ago.
I mean, you look at the needs. Tight end. Offensive line. Inside linebacker. Cornerback. I mean, those are the big needs of this football, of this football team. And we haven't even touched on the quarterback of the future. But I think right now, we're not really concerning ourselves with that because we're trying to compete in division, and John Elway doesn't want to lose again. So that tells you he is not picking quarterback at 10. I mean,
agreed.
Right. A lot of things told us that, but the other thing that told us is he needs to win now, and especially with these moves that the Raiders are making. He doesn't want to fall to the bottom of the division. And that could happen very easily. Did anybody watch that last game that they played? It was embarrassing. It was flat out embarrassing. So, number 10, that number 10 pick, it got to have a dividend like Bradley Chubb. He's got to work out right away. And then they got to back it up in the other rounds also.
Sure. You need a Cortland Sutton. You need, and we may need a couple gems as well, like Philip after the fact. But I see on the RamosLaw.com text line that, you know, I'm an idiot because the Raiders are clueless and they'll screw this thing up. Just slow down a little bit with that. It's a new day with the Raiders. It's a new day. There's new people in charge. They got Mike Mayock as their general manager. Pretty much anyone with eyes and ears is telling you that the Raiders just got the absolute best of the transaction with the Steelers. They had a pretty good draft. I'm just not going to dismiss the Raiders because, oh, they've been bad, so they're going to continue to be bad. No, it's the NFL, man.
I am.
You are.
Yeah.
You are what?
I'm hoping they continue to screw things up.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping
too. And that's what I'm planning on.
Oh, that's what you're planning on?
Yeah, like you go to, you know, it looks like these signings are great, but Antonio Brown all of a sudden, look, he's not happy, Zach. He's just not happy.
Could happen.
So he's throwing, you know, water coolers. He's yelling at his coaches. Him and John Gruden have, Battle Rumble Part 2. You know, Keyshawn and John Gruden was one, and now this is two. And then Trent Brown just turns out to be the guy that the 49ers let go for a fifth-round pick. And, you know, they just whiff on these draft picks, and it's the same old Raiders.
I hope you're right.
It could happen very, very easily.
I hope you're right.
And I'm getting blowback on the RamosLaw.com text line for thinking that. What do you think of Mike Mayock's talent evaluations? You can bet your last money the Raiders are going to get great picks out of this draft, as well as free agent acquisitions. Your days of clowning us are over, pal. Oh, we got Raiders people listening. Hey, I like it.
They're welcome, too.
There we go. Yes. Put your name on that so I can give you a shout out there.
Stoke, it happened again.
Oops.
For the third time in 2 weeks from a separate Bronco, we have, you can't make this up, another Bronco tweeting at a fan host.
Is it? Hopefully it's not me.
You'll find out next.
Because I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now.
So why, for the third time in 2 weeks,
That's how long I've been on ya.
Is a Denver Bronco tweeting at a fan host. I mean, you just can't make it up. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Last Friday, D-Max said he would be a fan of bringing back former Bronco Malik Jackson. Now, Malik Jackson signed with the Eagles. Is that right? Is that what I'm hearing? Got a deal with the Eagles in place. But D-Mac was expressing that he would be a fan. He also stated that he thought that Malik Jackson, and I think Chad Brown agreed with this, could bring back some swagger to the Broncos D-line group. Derek Wolf saw the article and responded to it. He said, "You think our D-line has no swag? Question mark." At DMAC 1043, challenge accepted. I kind of like it.
Yeah. You know, we've had Wolf on before. Wolf's filled in here with you.
Oh, yeah.
A couple days. And so I think I tend to agree with Chad and DMAC. I think, you know, when Malik left, he brought some nasty with him, right? And obviously, when you're not playing at a high level, look, it's hard to be, like, mean and nasty,
right,
when you're getting pushed around. And that's kind of what's happened the last couple years. It hasn't been that great defense that was around the year Malik and company were here. They had everything, but they had some nasty with them. And I think that's maybe what they're, you know, when they're saying swag. I mean, Malik crossed that line a lot on the football field. And it would aggravate and frustrate me. But at the same time, you need some of that on your defense.
Sure.
Is he coming on today?
I think he is.
With D-Mac?
I believe Derek Wolf is, in fact, hopping on the drive this afternoon at 3:15. So right out the gate.
Perfect.
You and I will be able to listen driving home.
Yep. Can't wait. Can't wait.
They have been missing something, though.
It just hasn't been the same. You know, the whole team hadn't been the same, obviously. Defense just not quite what it was, obviously. But, they're missing. Look, it's hard to have a lot of swag when you're giving up 200 yards in back-to-back games, right?
Right. So, as we talk about, swag. You're like, you're attaching a word that, you know, you can't even really define to a group. What I think they mean by that, it's missing some swag, it's just not as good as it used to be.
Right.
Like, quite simply, it's just not as good as it once was.
Mindset, mentality.
Sure.
You know, that nasty.
Yes.
But it's hard to be, and it's hard to have that when you're not successful.
And I think Derek would agree with that.
Right.
Like, it's hard to argue from where they were to what they've become. Now, what they've become, it's not one of the worst groups or anything like that. It's just not what it was. And I think Derek Wolf would and may agree with that later this afternoon. But he's saying, look, challenge accepted. Okay, yes, you're sort of calling us out. Okay, I got you.
And I think when you think of Malik in that era, that was when they were at their pinnacle. I mean, that was greatness. And they had all of that, right? But they were a great defense. So it's easy to have that swag and to have that bravado whenever you are a really good defense. And it hasn't quite been the same. They haven't been awful, but they've had some really bad moments. And when you're losing football games, it's hard to have that kind of energy and that swag.
Right. Right.
That you had Super Bowl year.
Right.
You know, when I was on bad offenses, there was no swag. I mean, there was no bravado, but when you're on good offense, yeah.
Yeah.
You feel a lot more, you feel a lot better. You're scoring, you're having fun, and
swag comes after the success.
That's it. Can't have swag without success.
Right. Then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Then you're Marquette King. Mm. And by the way,
I'm gonna let that one go.
And by the way, let's just be totally real. We could use more from Derek Wolfe too. And that's not me taking a shot. That's just me. Like, again, Derek would probably tell you that. 3.5 total sacks in the last two seasons. So, like, we all love Derek. We want Derek to have a huge year. We want the D-line to have a huge year. But we need more. We need more from everyone. This is a 5-win team and a 6-win team.
I think collectively you could say that about every one of those guys. Just need more from the defense.
Yeah.
And they still have a really good nucleus, I feel like. When you look at Vaughn and you look at Chris Harris, you look at Derek Wolfe, you look at Bradley Chubb now as a part of this new nucleus. So they do have a good nucleus there to build around still. But they need other guys to step up.
Yeah.
And those guys have got to continue to play at a high level.
And again, I think they would all agree. Who's tapped out? Who's just like been so successful, you're like, wow, he's got no room to grow because he's just been so dynamite. We don't have guys like that. We don't. And that's just a reality. Wow. I'll tell you what. There has been a guy that some folks wanted here in Denver, even folks on this radio station, have suggested would be a fit. And it is no longer because he just broke the bank. Breaking NFL news next. Well, I can tell you who they won't sign. It's a guy that a lot of folks around here wanted to see in orange and blue. And understandably so. I'm talking about Landon Collins, Stoke. Former Giants star safety. I'm taking this from Ian Rappaport's Twitter. Says sources, former Giants star safety, Landon Collins, is signing a 6-year deal for a whopping $84 million with the Giants rival, the Washington Redskins. Unbelievable. That is a fat number.
And, wow. Big number.
And what's just as big is that $45 million of it is guaranteed and will be paid out over the first 3 years of the contract.
Wow. That's big money.
Dude. This is what I can't see the Broncos doing.
They can't. They really can't. With the things that they need to get accomplished and with their numbers the way that they are and the money that they have to spend, I just don't see this as the avenue that they're taking or this is going to be their approach, going out there and signing one of these marquee guys. I think they're looking for the moves that they made with Darian Stewart and Emmanuel Sanders in free agency. You get a guy on a 2 or 3 year deal and bargains.
Yep.
Right? That's what they got out of those guys. They're going to let this whole free agency frenzy settle down after a couple days, and then the Broncos will get more involved. And maybe there'll be one guy coming up here pretty soon, but I don't think it's going to be one of these upper echelon guys. Just don't see it happen. I just don't think they have the luxury to be able to do that. Too many holes to fill.
Let me throw this out to you.
I don't know if it would be the wise move to make, would you? To go out there and pay one of these marquee guys.
Well,
would it be the wise move to be made? Are they one player away?
Well,
I think you do that when you're one player away.
Yeah.
But what do you...
Well, you know, Stoke, when we talk about like, hey, they can't do this because there's too many holes. But chances are, if you're trying to fill the holes with the guys on clearance, those holes are actually probably never actually legitimately going to get filled. You may be better off with just having a market-setting deal for a guy like C.J. Mosley. Spend the crap out of it. Know that you're going to be a little bit hamstrung with the rest of free agency, but we will know that the hole that we were trying to plug, that thing is plugged.
Not a maybe.
C.J. Mosley's not a maybe.
Right. And look, I hear you. I see. you know, where you're coming from there when you talk about, let's make sure we at least got one thing crossed off the list.
Right.
And sometimes you have to pay to have that crossed off the list. If you try to wait to second, third day, you're not going to really cross it off the list.
Nope, it'll be in pencil.
It's going to be hard to do it. I just think that they're going to have to try hard. And they've done it before. You know, Darian Stewart was a nice piece, and Emmanuel Sanders was a really nice piece, and they didn't cost them a lot. Those weren't, you know, day one signings. So I think that's more of the route they'll have to take. And you might see a medium-sized deal. I don't know if they have the luxury to do a big deal. I'm not against it. I'm not against, especially, like you said, I mean, if it could really be one of those positions where it's like tight end, veteran tight end crossed off the list, inside linebacker crossed off the list, guard crossed off the list. I don't know if they'll be able to do it. Some of these guys are at such a premium right now that, I mean, is there any chance they have an opportunity at C.J. Mosley? I mean, that to me is just no chance when you talk about C.J. Mosley. No chance.
No. Well, it would just have to set the market. It'd have to be a market-setting deal. You'd have to make other moves with your own roster to free up money, right? Gosh.
I think they're going to be second, third day free agent.
So this could be a very yawn free agency period for John this time around. Like, grab a blanket and a pillow, hang out for a couple days, let everyone else splish splash.
I think when it comes to, you know, when you say yawn, I think when it comes to that marquee guy or two,
yeah,
I think so. I think they will be active once the frenzy kind of calms down. Then they'll look for the bargains, and I think they'll be active then. And they'll be there's good players there.
Sure.
There's good players. I mean, there's not, you know, probably Hall of Famers there, but you can find good pieces at good deals once things calm down a little bit. And if you put them in the right spot and coach them up, I mean, that's probably the situation the Broncos are in.
For better or for worse.
Yep.
So maybe Thursday and Friday is when our antenna should really be going up.
That's correct. And we'll see. We'll see if anything comes out.
It's John, so you don't know.
Never know. And I think you do have to try to start being more creative with trades and things like that to kind of reset this roster and to get things heading back in the right direction. And I just look at the Eagles and the unbelievable job that he did to correct their mistakes under Chip Kelly, and just to flip that thing as fast as they did it was remarkable. But you look at how they did it. They were creative. They were aggressive. They made some great trades. They saw a quarterback they wanted in the draft, and they, you know, went up and got him. And they just did a great job of rebuilding that team, but also finding their quarterback along the way. I think when you look at their situation, John might have to try to take a page from their book when it comes to trades and being really aggressive in the trade market.
We're seeing another move here. Trey Flowers. I'm seeing this from Ian Rappaport's Twitter. The Lions are expected to sign another former Patriot, this time pass rusher Trey Flowers. Source confirms.
Dave, I'm seeing on Schefter.
You got the numbers there?
I see a 5-year deal.
See a 5-year deal. Do we have the numbers on that, fellas? I see on Rapport, it says should be more than $16 million or $17 million. So, look, big money's being thrown around.
And you look at organizations and teams, some of these teams that are throwing the money around, they got to win now. Redskins. I mean, Gruden knows that he has to win now.
That's it.
Or he's gone. Maybe the GM also. What about the Detroit Lions? They wanted to fire Matt Patricia after last year.
That's right.
Like, why did we get rid of Jim Caldwell? He's better than what we have now. That GM's on the hot seat probably also. So they got to make moves, and they got to win and compete now. So what do you have to do? You have to overspend. You have to go get players that are going to impact your football team, hopefully, right away. And so that's what these organizations are doing. If you got money and you need to win, you're going to spend it. And you're going to spend it on some marquee guys. You got to try to change the culture and create a buzz in those cities to get the fans back on board.
Cecil's second mock draft is out. And I was a lot more resistant a week ago to what I saw this time around in Cecil's draft. But I'm coming around. I'll tell you who it is and why I'm coming around next. So Cecil Lammy's second mock draft is out. You can find it at 1043thefan.com. Go check that out.
2.0.
We bring in our guy, Cease. It's been a minute. It's been too long since we had you in here. It used to happen more frequently, but now you got your own three-hour show, and just kind of when you're done talking, you're like, I got to ask him to talk more.
I got to go to Broncos.
Right.
But, hey, the Broncos, you'll see in this mock draft how it unfolds. Spoiler alert, they don't get Devin White. My last mock was so popular, it made me uncomfortable because mocks are usually torn apart. Like, I just toss it out there like a softball, right? Like, Stoke, tear it up. And the first mock, even Terrell Davis liked our tweet that I had Devin White going to the Broncos in my first mock. This one's probably not being received as well.
Well, at number 10 overall in Cecil's 2.0, he's got the Broncos staying pat at 10. And picking Jonah Williams, offensive tackle out of Alabama.
Now, why don't you think it will be received as well? Because you know the sentiment around here, and like, let's fix this offensive line more so than ever. It's been so bad.
Right.
I think that people would absolutely love a offensive tackle at 10.
An offensive tackle that you don't have to pay $66 million to, like Trent Brown gets from the Oakland Raiders, as they're crushing it. But with Williams, the big concern is he really a left tackle or is he right tackle? Even some people suggesting that he move inside the guard.
You just gave Zach a heart attack.
Right. Now, here's my case on it, because he has 33 5/8 arms. And the standard that ask for a scout is 34-inch arms for a tackle prospect. So he's just a little shy, But Joe Thomas had the same size arms.
Okay.
And Joe Thomas is his idol, by the way, and someone that he brought up at the combine.
Pretty good, right?
He was decent. Yeah, he was okay for a minute or two. So, and you look at that athleticism, you look at the intelligence. If they follow the plan from what they established last year, let's draft smart guys, let's draft captains, let's draft a two-time first-team All-American at left tackle with 29 starts at left tackle and 14 starts at right tackle, by the way, when he was a freshman, and he was All-American freshman team then for Alabama. Like, let's get that guy in and see where he fits. Put him on the right side, and if he can play left and you make that decision on Garrett Bowles, I think this pick is more about Garrett Bowles and his future, because if you get another tackle out there, Cody Ford or whoever you want to name, Andre Dillard, maybe that's just as a right tackle. I think Williams should get a shot at left, even with those shorter arms.
Well, that's if I'm drafting a offensive lineman or a tackle at 10, I want him to be at left tackle. I don't want to have to sit there. And certainly sometimes you can say, hey, you know, Jonathan Ogden, right? I mean, look, he played guard his first year, and then he moved to left tackle. But certainly that was their thought process when they drafted Ogden, was he was going to be their left tackle. I don't want to draft a guy at 10 and say that's going to be our future right tackle.
I think you do that because I don't think Garrett Bowles can play right tackle. That's just me. Now, size-wise, they're about the same size. Honestly, Jonah Williams is about 305 pounds. And we know that Garrett Bowles is rocking about 3 bills. So you're not saying, well, he's not a right tackle because he's not that road grader. It's just his best skill set is that athleticism. I think that Jonah Williams' best skill set is his smarts and his understanding of angles. And he's got the best footwork of any tackle prospect I've seen in the last 5 years. So I like all those assets. John Elway doesn't draft Alabama players, though. So I was a little bit nervous, but they did talk to him at the combine. And I felt confident from a few things that I know we all know that we've heard. They're going to make a run at a linebacker in free agency. They're going to make a run at corner in free agency. And to not necessarily look at those positions where they're at 10. I think tackle, maybe tight end, although that seems a little bit more wild. I'd like him to look at TJ Hawkinson if he's there. But that's why I went tackle this time. I fully intended for Greedy Williams to be the pick. When I did my first mock draft before I left for the combine, I was like, oh, second one's in the books. I'm greedy, you know? First one's Devin White, second one's greedy. Just by talking to people around Vic Fangio that were from Chicago, and they're like, there's no way Greedy Williams fits what he wants to do because the kid's allergic to tackling. I just want him to cover, too. And I like Greedy Williams, but I removed Greedy as an option. Started here, they weren't going to really go linebacker, maybe unless they had to, at 10. And that's why I went offensive tackle.
Well, I went into this conversation very receptive to the idea that if we believe Jonah Williams is a 10-year franchise left tackle, well, damn it, let's just get it right this time around. Because if you draft a left tackle at 10, it is a roundabout admission. No, it's not even a roundabout admission. It's an admission that Garrett Bowles isn't what you wanted him to be when you drafted him at 20 and just you know, it was just like 700 days ago. Like, that was not long ago. It hasn't worked. But then I was talking to Stokely, like, look, this is 3 off seasons in a row that he and I have been talking about this offensive line. Even if you say, hey, it's an admission. Jonah Williams, you're going to play left tackle. Garrett Bowles, you're bumping over to right tackle. And we now have our bookends under this terrific coach who's going to sort of bump everyone up a little bit. I heard you saying the Fangio bump a week ago. You could apply the same logic to a Mike Munchak bump.
Right.
And that made me feel good. They're like, hey, we got our left tackle. We got our right tackle. We got our coach. I feel good. But the sentiment I'm hearing from you is that he's not a sure thing at left tackle. He's a sure thing because he's smart. He knows angles. But at left tackle, am I okay to summarize that?
That's accurate. And you could say that about Andre Dillard. You could say that about Cody Ford. You could say that about Juwan Taylor. All the top tackles in this draft class, and there probably should be 3 or 4 taken in the first round. Dalton Reisner, some people say he's a guard. I'm like, he's a right tackle to me. He's the closest thing aggression that you get to Quentin Nelson, and I have him going to the Seahawks in my second mock draft. So I'd love to see it not at 10, you know, take Dalton Reisner there, but I think the Broncos should be examining that offensive line because they want to run the ball and they want to play great defense. Well, running the ball includes having that great offensive line, so when it's late in the game, you got your hosses out there and they can just run over people.
When you look at free agency, you're talking about a linebacker, and we're seeing that Quan Alexander is going to be gone.
Crazy.
C.J. Mosley, is that really, you know, feasible for the Broncos to pay that type of money that he's going to be commanding with their cap situation? How do you see free agency shaking out? I've kind of taken a step back and saying it looks like it's going to be a calm free agency for the Broncos and more of a reserved approach when it comes to, you know, finding more bargains out there than making a big splashy move. How do you see it playing out for the Broncos?
And the bargains are made better by the teams around, the players around them. Pritch and I argue about this, like, because I want value guys like Emmanuel Sanders. His first deal with Denver is 3 years, $12
million. He just used it as an
example,
too. I want
bargain guys like Darian Stewart, who was, you know, like $2 million deal, something like that. Like, I want those guys. Those guys are made better by great players around him. I want the Broncos to make a splash. I think they need to. You got Oakland stealing all the headlines. The gap is widening with the Chiefs that's already there, with the Chargers already there. The Raiders are getting out in front of you. The Raiders are the attraction. John Elway needs a splash like C.J. Mosley. You have to overpay for it. Now, if they don't get Mosley, K.J. Wright, unless he's been signed, I've been at lunch, fellas, but this free agency's been crazy, but I think K.J. Wright would become an option for this team and maybe a better coverage option, although an older player not as good as C.J. Mosley. You expect that Fangio bump like you expect the Munchak bump on the offensive line.
Cecil Lammy dropping by here, doing a bit of double duty today from what I understand. When we talk about this free agency period, Stoke and I were just going back and forth on this, that like In one hand, you say, okay, because you have so many holes on your team, you can't afford to just go after one guy and pay him to this monster deal because you have too many things to address. But if you hang back for a couple days, let these top-tier guys get gobbled up, and you do try to go about, for lack of a better term, the Band-Aid route with some of these clearance sale guys and try to plug as many holes, it becomes less of a sure thing that when it rains, these Band-Aids are going to come off. Maybe the thought process should be, we're not going to address all these holes. It's impossible to fill all these holes with bubblegum. Therefore, we're gonna sign one market-setting deal.
Right.
But we're sure that this is now, that hole officially filled and sealed.
What do you think about just the dynamic of how to approach this thing?
I love it. And since the days of Smoke Dog Al Wilson, they haven't had that inside linebacker. Danny Trevathan was nice, and all due respect to Brandon Marshall and Todd Davis and all that. But if you can break the bank and get a C.J. Mosley, I think, one, Broncos country would be excited about that. With Vic Fangio and his experience with coaching great linebackers, including the greatest group of linebackers ever in the 91 Saints and the Dome Patrol, I think that he was their linebackers coach, and that's the greatest group of linebackers ever. I think he could have that similar impact with Chubb, with Von Miller, with, you know, Josie Jewell eventually, and then hopefully with a guy like C.J. Mosley. And I like that idea of saying, because they can only get one. They're not in that salary cap space. Now, next year they got $100 million. Next year, the Broncos have, it's 98 and change, but I'll just round up because it sounds fun. They've got $100 million in cap space next year. And I suggested last week, like, maybe they could start on credit. Be like, hey, you're going to make $2 million this year. You're going to make $15 million next year. Like, I don't know how you structure that.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good for it. Look at next year. We got the cap space. So I think next year would be that splash. And that's honestly how we have to look at it. And it sucks because you get excited about every year in the NFL. But honestly, even the biggest Broncos fan can tell you they're not going to make a Super Bowl run this year. But next year, $100 million in space. And if Flacco works out, which, by the way, is a win-win. If Flacco doesn't work out, win. You draft a quarterback next year, which is what I want him to do. God forbid, don't take a QB at 10. If Flacco does work out, win. Now you can keep building and maybe make a run next year.
Do the Broncos need to make a splashy move this year? Obviously, you changed coaches, so you got, you know, some energy back around Broncos country. You just had two awful seasons. Do they need to make a big splashy move in free agency to create some buzz and get some energy around here again? Or are they good even without that? You know, you added Joe Flacco, you got a new head coach. Do they need to make that type of big splashy move for Broncos country?
Super Bowl 50 is dead. And I think that's the way people should look at it. I hope that's the way they're looking at it at Dove Valley, because that reputation you had, a Super Bowl 50 champion, that's gone. It's done. And Stoke, you can speak to this better than anybody. Like, you want to make Denver a destination. You can't do that if you're getting the likes, you know, the lesser free agents that are out there. You know, you're grabbing a KJ Wright. That's fine. It's a decent option if you have to. But if you can get a Mosley, and if you can get a top five defense this year because you got Vaughn, you got Chubb, you got Mosley, like all in. Chris Harris, you pay that guy, by the way. Like, all of a sudden, you make Denver a destination. You don't do that if you're nickel and diamond these bargain Band-Aid free agents. Break the bank, get a guy, say, hey, Aaron, Denver, we're building a champion again.
Mm. That would be something. You know, you look, you know, you got me excited right there, CC. You Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and then you got CJ Mosley in the middle, you know, and Chris Harris and
Justin Simmons, by the way, who's in the last year of his contract, yeah, Justin Simmons.
I mean, you might have another piece in there to talk about from at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could be who knows? Could be a Devin Byron Ryan
Murphy,
also.
DeAndre
Baker,
whatever. Right.
Who knows what other piece might be there also defensively, but certainly, you know, when you have those two bookends and you talk about maybe adding up C.J. Mosley.
Changes everything.
It gets me excited.
Yeah.
I think they need to make a move like that in free agency. Just a name recognition move to try to create, I don't want to say a different culture, but just a new energy around this place and
create some buzz that you're going for it. You know, I mean, nobody's Peyton Manning ever, but when Peyton Manning was added, you're like, oh God, Denver's going for it. Like, if you add a CJ Mosley, at least that's a message to the rest of the league. Come here. We're going to play great defense. We're going to run the ball. And Royce Freeman better get it this year, by the way. But that's the culture. That's the message. That's the mantra that you need to create to get people, and by people, I mean other free agents, excited about coming to Denver again.
Cecil, have a great afternoon. We're going to hear you again here in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm filling in on the drive, and Derek Wolf at 3:15, because him and D-Mac we're going out.
How about that?
Man, Johnny Love's throwing a posh.
Challenge accepted. I feel like Johnny Love's in the middle of everything these days.
He is, man.
He's not even here.
No, he just starts the fire and backs away.
And leaves.
All right, we'll check you out later. Thanks
Be
for
good,
stopping
fellas.
By.
Thanks, Cecil.
Here's a question that I have. Do and will the actions of the Broncos match up with the message? I want to dive into that. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?